The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
At 9:27, it's Tuesday morning. Very good to have your company. Let's say good morning to Megan Cusack. Hello, Megan.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Nice to talk to you. How are you getting on today?
Yeah, not too bad. I mean, this is a bit mental, isn't it?
No, well, it's just chatting
to you, Ryan, an Irish superstar. You know, 9:30 on a Tuesday morning.
Listen, the only superstar in this conversation is on a phone line from the UK. congratulations on your latest role. Would you do me a favour, Megan?
Yeah, of course.
What is Call the Midwife? Like, what is it? Why is it?
Why is it?
Because I'm just saying, 8 million people watch this program in the UK on a Sunday. So will you? And you're in it, and you're brilliant in it. So tell us what it is.
I know, 8 million people. I try not to think about that factor because that's a bit nerve wracking. but I mean, it's a fab show, kind of set. Started in the 1950s. Now it's, you know, we're now in 1966 with it. And it kind of it tells the stories of midwives and the nuns that work in there, and what life was like in East London. And you know, it comes across as quite a wholesome show, but it's wonderful in the fact that it, you know, educates people at the same time. It brings up issues that were going on around then that you may not know about, which I think is what makes it really special.
Yeah, because it's a little deceptive there. You might think it's like Heartbeat or something. It's like cozy and lovely outfits and all the rest. And the next thing you know, it's gay conversion therapy. And you go, huh, where did that come from?
Exactly, yeah. Which was just recent. And that's only now been banned in the UK just last week. And, you know, you wouldn't necessarily know that. And it gets people Googling a lot of things and kind of learning a lot more.
Yeah. And you're in there as Nancy Corrigan, a kind of midwife pupil, and you're very much Irish in the role. Was it built for an Irish person, or did they go Irish when you arrived?
I think it was built for an Irish person. The character breakdown I got was she was Southern Irish. And I think then originally she possibly was going to be from Dublin, but then when I auditioned, they were like, "No, we'll just keep her from Cork."
yeah. Brought up by Irish nuns in Cork, no less.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, and give us a kind of a rundown of where you were at in all of that, the storyline.
So, as in kind of her background?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so she was an orphan, and she originally kind of lived with her grandmother for a bit until she passed away, and then she ended up in an orphanage, kind of being raised by the nuns.
And to get into all, I mean, that's heavy stuff, but at the same time, they touch on these things, which is no harm at all. You had, going into this role, very long hair and no idea how to cycle a bike. And now look at you.
I know, cycling a bike, delivering babies on a Sunday evening. Not expected, you know?
Your acting pedigree, everyone knows, listening to this program knows about the Cusacks. So will you give us a kind of rough outline, a sketch of your family tree?
Yeah. Well, so I'm fourth generation, along with a couple of my cousins. But of course, it started way back with my grandparents, Cyril and Maureen. Mm-hmm. Cyril was acting from a wee age because his parents went round kind of as a touring theatre when he was younger.
Yeah.
They came over from South Africa. And then, of course, he got all the sisters who then subsequently married actors as well. So, you know, there's just a couple of us.
Yeah.
A couple of us about the place.
So even you have Niamh, Circa, Sinead, Catherine. And your parents are?
Porrig and Denise.
Okay, great. And then you have... Then you obviously grew up in Skibbereen in West Cork. When did you think, yeah, I want to go, I want to do what they do or they did?
I think I kind of always had that. Sure, I was putting on little plays with my friends when I was younger. So I think my parents sort of had the clue that it was a losing battle to try and get me to do anything else. Much to their disappointment, in the sense that they were like, be a plumber, hairdresser, carpenter. You're always in work, steady work. And I went, no, I'm gonna go into a life of possible rejection and no money.
And with school, were you one of those looking out the window, or were you up the front of the class?
Oh, definitely looking out the window. Absolutely, head in the clouds. wouldn't have a clue. If you asked me to go do any French or geography, no, useless.
It's hard. It's hard, isn't it? Like for students like that who are brilliant people, but not academic students.
Yeah, I was just talking about this with my cousin the other day, actually. You know, there are people who are so good at the academic side, and it's amazing, but it feels like they're always championed. And then you've got, you know, there were lads in my year that may not have been good with maths or science or anything, but you ask them to take apart a car and put it back together again, and they've no problem with that. And I feel like it's a shame that sometimes that gets looked over just because, you know, they're not good at putting the essays together or, you know, getting the points in the exams, you know?
Yeah, that's the nature of the system here, I suppose. But I think it's kind of more fairer in the UK. They seem to kind of hone in on what you might be good at.
Yeah, I think there's kind of more options there here in the UK. You know, I talk to people who did exams in drama or photography in because they have that college. You can go to college rather than sixth form, and you know, I think there's more areas to branch out in if you know what you want to do.
When I was in college 415 years ago, Megan, the head of the students' union was Richard Boyd Barrett.
No way.
Yeah, your cousin.
That is hilarious.
Yeah, he was. He was always. He had a megaphone in one hand, and a copy of the college paper in the other, whichever. But he was very articulate and eloquent, and there was no surprise that he would go on to do what he did, what he does.
Do you follow him? Yeah, absolutely. I think he's amazing, and I remember him coming to see me in a show at the Abbey, and we were outside afterwards, and people coming up to him and just kind of shaking his hand and saying what an incredible person he was for, you know, speaking for the people and stuff like that. And to see that up close was really special.
And what about you? Are you getting a bit of that now? I mean, you're, what, 25 years old? You're on the cusp of greatness and now that you're in. No, but you are, in fairness to you. You're on the road. And are you getting a little bit of that now? People come up to you saying, love what you do.
No one's come up to me in person, but I've had some really very lovely messages online.
Good.
From people. But I mean, the show has such a following, and it's like, and they're diehard fans. I was slightly unexpected. I really was, people are making little videos and stuff like that, putting music in the background, and I'm there looking at this going, this is mental, what's going on here?
Well, Ellen from Wicklow is on by text to say, I absolutely love Call the Midwife. The show deals with important issues. Nancy's story is heartbreaking. Brilliant characters, and each episode gets better and better. So I know there's a fan base here. Now, you are of a generation, and when I meet people around your age group, and you say, did you see that on the TV? They'll often say, I don't have a TV. But then I say, yeah, but did you watch it on your phone or your laptop? I say, yes, they do. So because you didn't actually physically didn't have a television before you got this part. And I want to know, why? I mean, if you're an actor, surely you want to watch movies.
Yeah, I know. I think it's one of those things, we just never really got round to it.
Yeah.
Like, never got round to having a telly. But, you know, we'd all sit round and, you know, watch stuff on our laptop. And it's much better having a telly now. You know, we don't have to crane our necks round.
So you got the big TV in, and did you watch yourself back? Are you okay watching yourself back? You're not watching behind through your fingers or anything?
Oh, yeah, absolutely watching through my fingers. It's horrible. I'm, you know, it's a bizarre thing watching yourself. Because as well, you know, you film it so long ago that sometimes you forget what you've done. You're like, oh, yeah, there's that. That's coming. But yeah, no, we didn't have a TV. I don't think I would have watched it had it been for my two flatmates who made it real special, went out and got, you know, bubbles and flowers for the debut. My flatmate Keisha was like, I refuse to watch Megan's debut on a laptop.
Yeah.
So then the day of, on the Sunday, me and my other flatmate Joe, feeling ever so slightly worse for wear, made the trip to Curry's, which is a very, it's just overwhelming place in general. Yeah. Grabbed the TV and hopped on the bus back.
Yeah.
And had it set up just in time.
Yeah, I hear you on Curry's. I think one of the worst errors I ever made was going to IKEA with a hangover, and I to this day I regret it. I never forget. I actually just got triggered there. Thanks, Megan.
Yeah, it's a form of hell, I'd say.
I love listening to Megan Cusack. This morning says Cliona. I love the Cusack dynasty. I first knew of them when I went to see Cyril Cusack's. When I went to Cyril Cusack's funeral when I was about 10 or 11 with my mom, and then seeing Danny the Champion of the World with Jeremy Irons and Max Irons in it. One of my favourite Roald Dahl film adaptations, says Cliona. I'm delighted to see Megan now in Call the Midwife. So there's a person following every branch of the tree. Yeah, that's great. it's great. So Call the Midwife, great social history of midwifery in the NHS since World War II. Wasn't clear from last Sunday's episode if Megan's character was going to stay in the show. Can you help us out, Megan?
Nancy will be returning.
There you go. That's good news. Yeah. Okay. That's good. And what about anything else? I mean, I know you've great stage experience. Would you like to hit the West End in due course, or have you any further plans you can tell us about?
I mean, I love theatre. I think that's my kind of first love when it comes to acting. There's something so special about, you know, being in a room with a group of people for 4 weeks and then kind of creating a story together and then getting to put it on every night and go through the whole story every evening, because you discover so much more every time you do it. Learn more about the character, find little nuances. Whereas with TV I've not done any film, but with TV, you know, you do it and then you have to move on and you're like, and then you're waking up at 3 in the morning going, why did I say that line like that? Why did I say that line like that? Yeah. And then you can't go back and kind of try it another way. Whereas with theatre, you get to keep working at it. But yeah, so I love it. I really do.
Helen was on to say, my mother trained as a midwife in London following her nursing training, and she adores Call the Midwife. She says it's so true to the time and brings back so many memories. Nancy's story for us is a great addition and wonderfully played, truly, says Helen about Megan Cusack, who is the latest addition to that wonderful dynasty. Megan, it's lovely to talk to you. I'm sure we'll meet in real life in due course. But until then, I wish you every success and happiness.
Thank you very much, Ryan. It's been lovely chatting
with
you.
Yeah, likewise. See you soon. See you in Curry's. That's Megan, Megan Cusack joining us there. And she is, as I say, starring as Nancy Corrigan. Lovely addition to the cast there in Call the Midwife, which returned to the BBC a few weeks ago. So we wish her well. It was very good of her to join us on the programme today. It's 9:39.